You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, fans. This is Irish Sports Talk, and I'm Randall. And joining me today is Angelique Chungelis. Angelique, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Very eager for the season opener. Love going to South Bend, so this will be a fun weekend.
Yeah, it sounds like you've been pretty busy getting ready for this game and covering the Michigan team.
Yeah, I mean, it's always interesting covering a Jim Harbaugh team, and you never know how much access you're going to get. And, you know, we don't see practice. We don't get a good look at the Michigan team, but we talk to the players a lot, and I know talk is cheap, but they've all sounded very confident this preseason camp and very eager to show the world what they've got. And you know, looking forward to that stage on Saturday night in South Bend. I mean, that's, you know, nothing could be bigger for them right now.
Oh, for sure. And so how long have you been covering the Michigan team?
Longer than you've been alive, I'm sure. I have been covering Michigan full-time since 1992, and I did cover the home games in 91, but 92 is my first full season, so I've seen a lot of football at Michigan.
Okay, and yeah, the reason I asked was I was kind of wondering how Harbaugh is maybe different from the other coaches in the past, because we do hear a lot about not releasing depth charts or injuries and teams more hush-hush about things than what coaches in the past have been.
Yeah, I mean, he's different. He's unique personality-wise. I've covered 5 coaches at Michigan. Gary Mola was the first I covered, and then Lloyd Carr for 13 seasons, and then Rich Rodriguez and Brady Hoke. And, you know, they're about injuries, so I'm not going to hold that against him. But Brady Hoke used to refer to them as boo-boos. But in terms of personality, he's definitely the most unique and challenging to interview. He really does make you work for an answer, and I appreciate that. He really doesn't let you get away with an answer that if he can just say yes or no, he'll just say yes or no. So you have to word the question properly and to generate any kind of response from him. And, you know, sometimes he's really very talkative, sometimes he's not. But I have to say, coming into this season, he has definitely, in my opinion, been a little more low-key. He hasn't been out and about as much. You know, we weren't writing all these crazy stories about, you know, Jim Harbaugh being on stage at some concert with rappers like he was a couple years ago. And, you know, he's got his own podcast now, so I think he feels like he's sharing his opinions and his pearls that way. But generally, he stepped back a little bit after an 8-5 season, and probably that was the right move for him.
Yeah, definitely. I guess we can start with some information they did release. He did actually announce starting quarterback Shea Patterson. Tell me about Shea Patterson. What are you kind of expecting to see from him? It seems like the expectations are pretty high, and fans are expecting big things. But what do you think he's going to be able to do out on the field in this offense?
Well, you're right. I mean, Jim Harbaugh did announce Shea early. I mean, this was the first time in 4 years he's waited until kickoff for us to see who's trotting out there. I mean, we always suspected who the starter was, but you know, that says something that he was ready to name Shea 2 weeks ahead of time. And you know, Shea, you're right. I mean, you said there seems to be expectations. No, there are high expectations for him. And I think as soon as he got cleared his eligibility to play this fall, Michigan fans were suddenly feeling 100% better about their chances this year. And he brings 10 starts under his belt. He didn't finish last season at Ole Miss because of an injury. But, you know, he's mobile. He's dual threat in, you know, maybe not entirely the true sense, but he is. And he's going to change the look of this offense. They're not going to massively change. Jim Harbaugh hasn't overhauled his offense for Shea Patterson, but you're going to see more RPO. You're going to see a guy who can extend plays, and they're going to need that behind an offensive line that's still, I think it's a question mark. They say that they're more confident now with Ed Warner coaching them, but the tackles are still an issue in my mind. So, Shea Patterson is the kind of quarterback who can make an offensive line, you know, cover up their mistakes, their ills a little bit. So lots of, I mean, the expectations are soaring here because of Shea Patterson. And I think he likes that. I mean, he's really kind of a quietly confident guy. He's not cocky in your face. I'm this, I'm that. But he's really instilled the offense with a lot of confidence, and they're all carrying themselves differently than I've seen in the last few years.
Yeah, that's definitely what it looks like, kind of from the outside, looking at the situation there, that everybody feels confident around him. And then looking at the offense, I mean, the rest of the offense, what are some of the strengths? I mean, I was Tariq Black out with an injury. Who's maybe going to step up in his place and kind of take the reps that he would have taken?
Well, I think you're going to see Nico Collins, and he's a bigger receiver, and the players have been raving about him in camp and saying he's gone up and gotten everything. He hasn't made many mistakes, and he's a sophomore, but he was coming on last season. I think you got Donovan Peoples-Jones who's back, who, you know, he didn't start off as well last year as Tariq Black before Tariq had his other foot injury, but you know, Donovan Peoples-Jones was the number one rated receiver and just out of here in Detroit. And I thought he came on at the end of the season. He got more experience and broke some of his habits from high school and certainly improved. But, you know, I think people are overlooking the tight ends here at Michigan. And they've got three who are really, you know, Zach Gentry's 6'8", and he converted from quarterback. And he's finally, after a couple years, feeling like he understands his role and how to play tight end. And that wasn't an easy transition. And then there's Sean McCune and Nick Eubanks. So I think the tight ends are going to be a big factor in their receiving game. But I would expect Nico Collins is the guy who's going to step up. And they've got Grant Perry, who's a senior in the slot. And he's apparently had a very strong camp as well.
And then as far as the running backs, do they have one guy that's going to be the lead back, or just going to be more of a running back by committee situation?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of running back by committee, and that was sort of what they were preaching the first couple years. But they've got Jay Harbaugh, the running backs coach, likes to say he has a 1-1 punch in Caron Higdon and Chris Evans. And, you know, it's Caron Higdon. I mean, he's the lead back, and he was close to 1,000 yards last year. He was 6 yards shy, and he's got a lot of goals, and so does Chris Evans. And, he, you know, he wants to be part of the 1-1 punch. He was talking this summer about sort of accepting the 1-2 punch role, and you know, I think that he's capable of being a starting back, and he wants to show people that too. And I think they feel more confident, again, because the offensive line has improved. I mean, it's not going to be a great offensive line, I don't think. This is not like the Michigan lines that covered in the – I don't want to say when, but way back when.
I
think that they're getting there. And, you know, the piece of the puzzle that people talk about but then don't talk about is Ben Herbert, the new strength coach that Harbaugh hired in the offseason from – he was at Wisconsin and then Arkansas with Brett Bielema. And he has changed these bodies. I mean, it's unbelievable how much different these guys look. And Caron Higdon is perfect evidence of that. I mean, he's just – bulkier and stronger and put on about 12 pounds, and they all say they're faster, which I need to go on that diet because I don't know how that works, but they all look different.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like they've kind of gone through the same transformation Notre Dame did a year ago, which is to be the second year in the new strength conditioning program, but Notre Dame brought in a new strength conditioning coach and you know, completely transformed the players. You know, they added weight, they're faster, and now the big issue they've been working on is being able to still be at full strength in November, and I think that's something Michigan's maybe struggled with a little bit as well.
Yes. Yes. I mean, and that is absolutely key, and, you know, I think part of the problem with that has been, and I think people point to the defense in that sense, and here's, you know, this is – been some pretty good defenses under Don Brown, but late in the season, it's like, whoa, they give up some big plays. Whoa, they don't look the same. And I think a big part of that is because the offense hasn't been there to support this defense. And they weren't getting first downs when they really needed to grind out a first down. And that takes a lot of pressure off of a defense. And even a really good defense like Michigan, had breakdowns because of that. I mean, these guys are exhausted, and even though they feel like they've got an eight-man rotation on the defensive line that can spell the starters and give them a breather, it piles up by the fourth quarter. And not making an excuse for them by no means, but I thought there was plenty of evidence of that last year, and it's deflating for a defense when an offense just can't keep you off the field. And I think that that's part of what they were trying to address, not just the conditioning-wise, but just getting this offense to be – I mean, all Shea Patterson has to do in my mind is manage the game. He doesn't have to do anything flashy. He has to chew the clock and, keep the defense off the field. And then here's Ben Herbert comes in, and they worked on attrition. They worked on conditioning, and these guys feel like they have it now to finish games, because that was sort of the MO for Michigan the last couple of years. I mean, late in that season after Wilton Spate got hurt in 16 and they were so close to a national championship playoff, they couldn't finish the games, and the same thing last year. So that's going to be critical to see this year. Is all that going to pay off, and will they be there at the end of the games and win those games that they lost the last 2 years?
Yeah, that's definitely the same situation with Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
And then moving over to the defensive side of the ball, keep hearing about how great this defense is, and I guess for Irish fans, we'd like to hear where maybe what the weakness is on this defense. I don't even know if there is one.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say. It's interesting you said that. There's been so much talk about the defense, and it's every time I post a story, the former players who follow me on Twitter say, "Do more, talk less." And, I think that's been kind of a theme among those players, is that they're hearing these guys talk about how good this defense is, how fast they are, how good that this could be the next great Michigan defense. Same with the offense. The offensive line's talking big about how they've improved. And these players, there's players saying, just let's see it. Stop talking about it. But with that said, I think the defense is worthy of the talk, and I think that they had to replace Maurice Hurst on the defensive line, and he's playing the NFL now, and I think they feel really good about where Michael Dwumfor is. So, I don't think there's any drop-off on this defensive line. And when Don Brown says it's the fastest defense he's been around, I have to believe him. And, you got a guy like Devin Bush, who's been voted a co-captain in the middle as a linebacker, I think. They've got Khalik Hudson at the Viper. I mean, their secondary, I thought, would be a weakness last year. And, they ended up putting up amazing numbers. So, they're back, too. So I think if there's any weakness, I mean, maybe there could be some more depth at corner. But, I'm not saying they're infallible. But this is definitely the strength of this team, has been for a couple of years. And I haven't seen any drop-off yet. And I can't tell you where there's a weak link, because I don't think there is one.
Yeah. Well, and with Rashawn Gary on the defensive line.
Yes, I forgot about Rashawn and Chase. I didn't even mention them. Yeah, thank you.
Is Rashawn 100% healthy? And we've been hearing rumors of him sitting out in practice past weekend. He was in pads but wasn't doing a mm-hmm. whole lot. Is there something to that? Or I guess you don't really know if he's giving any info on the injuries either.
Oh, no, of course not. But, I'll also say Chase Winovich also didn't do much in that practice on Saturday, too. And when I say practice, let me put the little air quotes around it, because it was 1 hour of just watching them go through some drills. But, someone asked Greg Madison, the defensive line coach, on Wednesday about Rashawn's health, and he just laughed and he said, "You'll see." He said, "Talk to me after the game what you think about Rashawn Gary." So, my understanding it was just like a little ding, maybe a shoulder issue and nothing that was going to keep him out of the game. So, there were also rumors running rampant about Caron Higdon too, the running back. And I asked Caron about that earlier in the week, and he just laughed. He said, "I don't know where this stuff starts." He goes, "I'm fine. I'm 100% healthy." So, no one knows where some of these things start, but you always have to look into them, because sometimes they're true, like the Tariq Black info that was slipping out on Saturday night. So, Rashawn Gary is, from what Greg Madison says, is 100% ready to go.
Yeah, I think he gets blown a little out of proportion with, we keep hearing about how good this piece is, and I think people are just looking, especially Notre Dame fans right now, just trying to latch on to any kind of info that could maybe be a weakness that could show weakness in Michigan defense.
Absolutely. And, who wouldn't want to find a weakness, right? I mean, that's what you got to do game week. You got to find something.
Yeah. And just tell us a little bit about the special teams, because I do think, I mean, for me personally, I think it's going to be a close game, and I think special teams are going to be very critical for both teams in this game, because it could come down to field goals and punts, you know, puts on the field or something like that.
Well, that's a great question, because I think that's a huge unknown with Michigan, and no one's really talked about it very much. Chris Partridge, who coaches the safeties, is the special teams coordinator, and he talked to us about a week or so ago, and he wouldn't even name the three punters who were in the competition. And it was interesting at this one-hour practice the other day, Brad Robbins, who was punting last year, wasn't there, and assuming he's hurt. And, you know, I've always valued the role of punter. I mean, I always think that's a huge weapon if you got a great punter. So I think it's really up in the air for Michigan there. And then you've got Quinn Nordine, who kicks field goals and has a huge leg, but he also he's up and down. I mean, he's the wild thing haircut. He's kind of a crazy guy, and he's very capable, but where is he mentally? And can he handle this kind of stage? And Chris Parker says he thinks so, but no one has really seen what Quinn's been up to. So to me, this is a huge unknown going into the game. And when you look at the forecast, I mean, there could be some rain. It could be kind of messy. I think you're right. I mean, it's something that this game could come down to that kind of situation. And I honestly can't tell you where Michigan is in kicking it. I mean, the return game, they're trying a lot of those guys back there. I think they feel good about guys returning kicks, but it's the guys making the kicks that is an unknown.
Yeah, and as far as the weather, it didn't look good earlier in the week. Last night I had checked, and I believe the rain pushed off to about 10 o'clock. So,
oh, good.
Right at the end of the game, but they had been lowering the percentage, so hopefully it'll be nice. I don't like a big game like this. I don't like the rain being a factor in the game. I'd rather have two good teams out there in good conditions battling it out versus having the weather.
Totally agree. Totally agree. I spoke to a friend of mine last night who said, you know, it just hit me that Golden Dome doesn't mean that they have a dome over the stadium, so I hope it doesn't rain.
Yeah. Yeah. And looking at the game of Saturday, do you have a score prediction, or are you not at that point yet?
You know, I threw out a score in the paper, and I honestly can't remember the score because I hate doing that because I haven't seen either team in person, and it's hard to say. And, I mean, I'm giving the edge to Michigan because of the defense. I think it is all that everyone's talked about, and I'm buying into the Shea Patterson hype, which, again, without seeing it. And, it's so interesting to hear, like, Harbaugh talk about how the two programs are sort of mirror images of each other in so many ways. So I think it is going to be close. It's going to be strength on strength, I think. And, it's not going to be Michigan's strength is not its offensive line. So, you know, I think what I meant to say is that the two defensive lines will probably have their way. And, I don't know. I think it'll be a close game. I got Michigan winning by, and I think it was 3 points. I mean, it's going to be something like that. Always a crazy game, except a couple of years ago. I mean, that was such a blowout, but at least I got to write my story early and get out of South Bend. But, yeah, I do. I mean, but it's just so hard when you haven't seen these teams in person. And, you know, I do much better in my picks later in the season when I could actually base it on something.
Yeah. I agree. I keep going back and forth because, I mean, it comes down to we haven't seen either of these teams. I mean, we can see Notre Dame in practice, but we haven't seen it in a game.
Right.
And with it being the first game of the year, it's just hard to tell how this one will go, which makes it that much more exciting.
It does. And under the lights and that kind of stage, game day's there. I mean, there's so much hype, and it's fun. I mean, it's really fun. And I know a lot of Michigan fans sort of hate that they don't have a game before playing Notre Dame, but this is, I remember Bo Schembechler was saying, you know, and the coaches after him say, this is a measuring stick game. You get a really good feel about where you're going. And Chase Winovich said this week that that how Michigan plays, it'll be a they'll show you the trajectory of their season. So they're putting a lot of weight on this game, and obviously it doesn't ruin a season if you lose, but it does give you a very good idea of where they're going.
Yeah, for sure. One last question. Does the as Notre Dame, or Michigan has lost quite a few low games against ranked teams? Like it's
yes. 12 years.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Is that is there talk about that, or are they just ignoring
Oh, no. They
yeah,
know it. They know it.
There's not much you can do. But
there's not much you can do. And, you know, they're not responsible for seasons past, but they were 0-2 last year, and they've had opportunities to get those, to score those big road wins against ranked teams, and they haven't pulled it off. So, yes, I mean, I think they're more than aware that they haven't won a Big Ten. The program hasn't won a Big Ten title since 2004, and they haven't won a big road game against a ranked team. So they are aware of it. I think that they get tired of hearing about it. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's another reason why this game is big for them. They want to change the course of where this program's been going. And certainly that's been Jim Harbaugh's intent. That's why he made so many changes in the offseason to his staff. And, you know, it's about getting wins and regardless where they are. But that is an important factor for this program, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you very much for joining us and taking time out of your day to do this. Just where can fans read some of your work or follow your insight on the game this weekend?
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, the Detroit News. It's just DetroitNews.com. And then I'm on Twitter at Chengelis, C-H-E-N-G-E-L-I-S. So, yeah, I try not to tweet too much, play-by-play during the game, just to, offer some insight, because it gets too nuts watching everybody's, like, filing play-by-play, so,
yeah.
No, but I'm definitely active on Twitter and enjoy the interactions with readers, so, anytime.
Okay. Well, yes, thanks again for joining, and good luck on Saturday.
Thanks, enjoy the game, and I really appreciate your time and my questions, so thank you.